In Ayin Dalid, we're up to Ayin Zayin. Okay, so Zayin is a chiddush. Im higel kli hatzarech libun. We said there are two ways of kashering. The method of kashering with hot water, and the method of kashering with straight heat.
What?
With straight heat, like a blowtorch or a self-cleaning oven. When do you need which one? If the bliya goes straight in with fire, then you need libun. The bliya goes straight in, goes in with water, then you just kash it with water. And I think, well, water can't be hotter than roughly 212 degrees. So here's the chiddush. The chiddush, let's say I have a frying pan, it needs, or a grill, and it needs to be kashered with libun. Libun destroys the bliyas. Instead of libun, I did hagala. Hagala pulls out bliyas. It's not as powerful. So now, I can't use this grill for kosher meat because I didn't kasher it through libun. Could I use it for cooking? I don't know how you'd use a grill for cooking, but it was a keli that needs libun, and I did hagala, ayin dalet, we're learning. I think you have the wrong chevek. I'm sorry, is that aleph? It's out since the Rechelik. Okay, Klal Ayin Dalet. At any rate, the point is, I would think if you need Libun, you don't need Libun, it doesn't help. Nothing works. So the Chiddush is that it does help for Hagala, for using it through cooking. Okay? Let's say you have a fork, and the fork, you stuck it into a piece of hot meat. That fork, if it was trefa meat, then that fork needs Libun, because the bliya went in, not with the liquid. If you only did hagala, so you're still allowed to use it for things that hagala works for.
Into the meat.
Right. Yeah. So he says that. Look how he says it. You have to make with your thumb in order to follow. Look at Zayin. Im higil kli hatzarech libun. If you did hagala on something that needs libun, also lishtamish by bechamin afilu shloya yedayesh. I'm sorry, he's saying the other way around. He's saying, now you use a vachamin even through water. So you gotta make with the thumb the other direction. He's saying, if it needs libun, and you did agala, you can't even use it for things that libun works for, because not everything came out. And there's still bleas inside, and they'll come out. So here, Rabbi Kivager says, to chidushin. In this din. Because this din is really a very strict din, that if a bliya goes in through hot water, it's enough agala. But if a bliya goes in through, not through water, you need libun. Now, it's not so simple to do. If you have a frying pan at home, not so simple to do libun. Especially if it has a plastic handle, you're gonna put it in a self-cleaning oven, you're gonna melt the handle. And even if you put it in even if it's all metal, you put it in a self-cleaning oven, it's gonna change the color a little bit. So Rabbi Kivager says two separate chidushim. Chidush number one. I'll explain to you why it's a big chidush. He says, let's say you used oil. You had a milchka pan and you fried cutlets in it. You got mixed up and you fried cutlets in a milchka pan. So, Eve, what did I do? The pan is treif. So Rabbi Kivager says, since you did it through oil, it's just as good as doing it through water. Even though oil gets much hotter than water. Nevertheless, if the bliya went in through a liquid, any liquid, it's enough to do hagala. That is a very big chiddush, because if you think about it, the oil really became treif. While the oil was in a milchik pan, so it became milchik from the pan, it became fleishik from the cutlet, so the oil itself became treif. Nevertheless, Rabbi Kivager says that if you had kosher oil, and you put it between the meat and the pan, it's enough to do hagala. You don't have to do libun. That's chiddush number one. Follow? Okay. Chiddush number two. Chiddush number two is this. If I use a keli for milchis and fleishiks in the same 24 hours, so that's basa b'cholov, that's mamish treif. Now, what happens if I have a pan that wasn't used for milchik in 24 hours? And people sometimes call me with a shayla. I say, was he used in 24 hours? Yes. Milchiks? For real milchiks? Most things you have milch kasudas are pariv. If you cook spaghetti in milchik a pan, that didn't make it milchik. It's still parav. So usually, when people call it a shaila, oops, I cooked flesh, except milch a kapat. I asked him, was he using 24 hours of milk? Usually not. Now, the halacha is, if you cook, let's say, meatballs, and a milch a kapat is not a ben yaimai, what's the dinner of meatballs? You're allowed to eat them. You know that? Would your wife serve them to you? Huh? In a pure, real milch a kapat, she cooked meatballs. The halacha is, if it was used 24 hours, the meatballs are mutter. What about the pot? Now the pot doesn't have treifas in it. It has old milch kablias, and fresh flesh kablias is also going to become old. A pot that has old milch kablias and old flesh kablias we don't use. It's a gezeira ben yame, ena ben yame atu ben yame, we make a gezeira, we don't use it. But you have to kasher it. So Rabbi Akiva Eger says, since really it's hetera bala, it's all heter inside. See, even if it's a grill, a fleishiger grill, you have your fleishiger grill, you grill meat. And one day someone went, what could you grill that's milchik? No real milk, huh? Fish is para. It got me a cheese omelet, a cheese latke. And you put it on the same grill. So Rabbi Kivega says it's enough hagala. It's a second chiddush. Two chidushim. That's enough hagala if you did it through oil, even though his mom is treif. And if they're both yemi, even not with oil, since it's called heterabola, it's enough, it's kolishi, it's enough that has a weak taste, is enough to be matter it. That's Rabbi Kivega's kula. Rabbanim like, there are a handful of kids, yeah, but Rabbi Kivega's good enough to rely on. So Rabbanim have these six or seven kulas, what people call the Basim Chol of Shailas, the Torah of Shailas. Usually one of a handful plug in. Yeah, Baruch Hashem.
Rabbi Kivega's a good one.
Yeah, both of them are very good. They're very good at there. The problem is only Teflon. Teflon, you don't need oil. So if you have a milk in a Teflon pan and you cook fleishiks without oil, you mess up. It needs libun. You know what happens if you do libun to a Teflon pan?
24 hours.
Yeah, not to 24. That's true.
Right.
You know what happens when you do libun to a Teflon pan? It becomes de-Teflonized. It becomes a regular pan. Teflon is a plastic coating. And,
the time of the cooking, doesn't the cutlet sink and attaches the pan?
It's interesting. Even if there's oil, the food touches the pan. That's why it says Shabbat Chiddush. The truth is, even by cooking with water, it touches the pan. But usually there's so much water, you can understand to be Mekel. But oil is such a thin layer, you would think to be Machmer and Afal Pikein.
It's Mekel.
It's an emtsoyis. I would think in theory the heter is because whenever you cook something in liquid, it absorbs the heat. You see, heat is energy. If the energy is expended, then it doesn't get hotter. That's why when you have water and you boil water, if it comes to a boil, the extra heat is expended in energy, and therefore it doesn't get hotter once it reaches 212 degrees. Now if you have a pressure cooker and it can't boil, water can get hotter than 212. Oil gets hotter than 212. Oil can get very hot. But it doesn't reach Liban. There's a certain point where oil also begins to smoke or to evaporate.
Do we have to be certain that the oil covers the whole surface?
Yeah. They have these, PAM, the sprays.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's enough. You know, like you say, it doesn't really cover the whole surface.
There always could be little areas where the oil didn't cover. You're not sure?
Yeah, usually. If you make things like latkes or cutlets, where the oil is part of the taste, the ladies put in more. If it's something where they're only doing it shouldn't burn, then you're right, they put in very little.
If somebody detects a residual flavor, does it make a difference?
Yeah, very important. If you taste them, if you kasha something, or sometimes bottle b'shishim, but you taste it, it's a problem. Then it's still usur. It's sometimes hard to know. You have things like salami, they have a very strong taste. It's very hard to know if you're tasting the salami or the spices of the salami. After a while. Sometimes people tell me they waited 6 hours. Could they have milchix? I say, yeah. I say, yeah, but you know, every time I burp, I'm still feeling the salami or the frankfurters. I tell them, no, you're feeling the spices. You know, the meat is digested. The spices are very strong. They have a very strong taste. Okay, that was Zion. Ches. Kol mokim shetzorach hagala. Anything that needs hagala, loy mahani im kolfay lekli beklei omnis. It does not help to peel the kli shave the kli down. Shari nivla baya isa me'eva la'eva, because the bliya goes through and through. So shaving off a layer doesn't help. Dinamar, Adeya Shalissa is Baala Alel. Right, Madeya is a separate shaila. That's the stick that they stick in the brick ovens to take things out. And it needs a whole different level of libun. Even though it's really technically wood, but it still needs libun. Tess. Kalim Shatashmisham Bitsainim. Here you have kalim, like your drinking glasses, that the normal way of using it is using a coal. If there's a chash that they heated wine in it, or they salted food in it, to have a kavush. It's important, halacha, if you store something in a keli for 24 hours, a liquid, then it's as if you cooked it. You cooked in it. Because a kavush can mevushel. When people ask about things they put in the freezer, that's kavush. Kavush is only a liquid. Once it freezes and becomes a solid, the Prima Gadam says, that's not kavush. Kavush is a liquid in a utensil. It's happened that people in the refrigerator had milk that dripped.
There what?
Milk dripping. It drips into another container that's under in a lower shelf. And they ask me whether it became milk. It's cold. If it would have happened for 24 hours, then it would become milchik. When you have liquid, not just drips, but liquids that fill the law, fill the...
When I went into another pot, there was all the food there, replacing food, right?
Texture is a problem. Not cold. It's interesting halacha. If you cook milk, if milk falls into your chicken soup, it's batal b'shishim.
Right.
If milk drips on meat, the Gemara, the Shulchan says milk has, not milk, meat has cracks in it. You take a steak, you look at it, it's got cracks in it. With chayshish, there's a droplet of milk in one of the traps, in one of the cracks. Even though if it would be hot milk, we'd say it spreads in the whole thing. But drips of milk, you gotta throw out the meat. Unless it's a chicken that has a skin on it, which is smooth. But if it's something, if it's meat, then we're afraid there's milk in the meat. And everyone throw it out anyway, but that's the halacha. The halacha is chayshish for the cracks in the meat. Oh, it's true. There are two types of kavush. There's kavush of just a liquid in a container, and that takes 24 hours. There's kavush of a davacharif, something that's spicy, and we say that absorbs taste. Very, very difficult halacha Shulchan Aruch. We struggle to understand. It says if you put in, let's say, pickle juice or schmaltz herring or something with a sharp taste, so it takes out the bleas from the wall in the amount of time it takes to put a pot of food on the fire and bring it to a boil. So it's very unclear how big a pot of food and how big a fire. What does it mean? You put it on the fire and bring it to a boil. So we're not sure how long it is. There's a matter that I've given up between 6 and 18 minutes. So even, let's say, 6 minutes, if you had schmaltz herring or pickle juice, in a container that you realize afterwards is fleishig, or milchik, the bliya goes into the pickles, even in the ben yaymai, goes in and makes them fleishig or milchik. And then that's the halacha. That's the halacha. It's an interesting din. If you cut a pickle with a milchik knife, you gotta be careful not to put it back in the pickle jar. Because even within 6 hours of fleishigs, you're not allowed to eat a pickle that's cut with a milchik knife. A davacharif is different. You can eat an apple that was cut with a milk knife, or a tomato that was cut with a milk knife, or a melon that was cut, but a pickle, which is a davacharif, you cut a milk knife, you can't eat it within 6 hours of fleishigs. What? Or an onion? Garlic. So we had, when we learned this in Yeridei, in Rav Palm Shear, in 1979 or so, so we asked Rav Palm, well, if I cut a pickle with a fleishig knife, do I have to wait 6 hours? According to this premium, the premium God says, you cut a milk and knife, you can't eat it within 6 hours of flesh. So when they cut it with a flesh, you can knife. So the Pop said he's not sure. So I used to go to Ramesha those days. He said, Frank Ramesha. So I went to my Chavrusa. Now Ramesha was very brief. We were afraid we won't understand his answer. So I took the Shulchan Aruch like this. I had it in my hand. I had my finger on the page of the Prima God. And this Prima God is not in Yeridei. It's in Hilchus Shvuos, where it talks about eating milchiks. So you gotta hear this. I go to Ramesha, I'm holding the Shulchan Aruch. I ask Rav Moshe, if I cut a pickle with a fleshig knife and I eat it, do you have to wait 6 hours? So Rav Moshe says no. So I said, Abishtetim Prima Gadim. I started opening it. He answered me right away. He knew which Prima Gadim I was going to ask from. And he answered me in one sentence. And my Chavrus, who had never gone to Rav Moshe before, didn't know what hit him. The whole thing took 60 seconds. And he answered, he said like this. He said, when you eat meat, it's Moshech Tam. It leaves a taste for a while. It's not like eating like a pickles. But a pickle you cut with a fleshig knife, it doesn't give you a fleshig taste. It's halachically fleshig. It's not Moshech Tam. So he said, you don't have to wait 6 hours for that. So many years later, I was Rabbi Will Yashiv. And I heard a psak from Rebelsky. So I asked this to Rabbi Yashiv. I asked Rabbi Yashiv, if I cook in the same oven, I cook open chicken and open potato kugel. I have many people do it at Erev Shabbos. They have both open. Now the kugel becomes fleshig. The bleas of the chicken go in the kugel. I asked Rabbi Yashiv, do I have to wait 6 hours if I eat a piece of kugel? So he said, we can't make lasagna. Why? Same answer. Meat is Moshech Tam. The kugel has a din of meat. But it doesn't give you a fleshig taste in your mouth. So you don't have to wait 6 hours. Now Rabelski disagreed with that. You have to wait 6 hours. If you eat kugel that was heated up in the same oven as open chicken, so it's a riddle. What is it? Rabbi Yashiv is Mekel and Rabelski is Machmer. Not too many such things. But this is a case. This is
and the carrots with chicken soup. If it doesn't taste like chicken soup, let's say
you have to wait 6 hours. You know why?
That's in the soup.
It's in the soup. But he's right. It doesn't really, it tastes a little bit. But it leaves a 6 hour taste.
The steam that's going into the thing.
How far do you go?
Here,
how
far? It's marching a
little. It does say if you have a tafshel shalbasa, that's what's called a tafshel shalbasa, things cooked with meat, that you have to wait, tafshel shalbasa, you have to wait 6 hours. I'm not sure what our Sephardic friends hold about this. Could be they hold differently. But we pass it for sure, tafshel shalbasa, you have to wait 6 hours.
So what's the nafka mina between a plain piece of kugel and a piece of kugel that you're calling flesh?
A plain piece of kugel is parav. A piece of kugel that you cook in the fleshig oven, so you don't have to wait, but it's still fleshig. If you can't have it with milk, that's the only difference. You can't have it together with milk. So it's the only difference. You understand what I mean? You might have if it's knishes, you want to have it with sour cream, you can't. You cannot, the same mouthful. If it has the steam of the chicken in it, you can't.
Could you serve it on a milking plate? Hot kugel.
You shouldn't.
But an hour later, you could eat milk.
Yeah, even a few minutes later. All right, so we're up to Ois Tess, weather permitting, tomorrow night. Mitzvah Shem.